We're going to talk about the reason for the season today, a little study called The Reason for the Season, and today's subtitle is Don't Fear. And let's not forget what the reason for the season is all about. A lot of people in America have so many ideas of what Christmas is about. Some people think it's just about exchanging gifts. Some people think it's just about spending time with family and friends, beautiful lights, parties. There's so many ideas of what Christmas is about, but as believers in Jesus Christ, followers of God, we need to keep in mind what the reason for the Christmas season is. As I said in the prayer, the reason for the Christmas season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. He lived a life here at 33 years old. He was placed upon a cross. He was crucified for our sins. And by faith in Him, we can have eternal life. And that's good, isn't it? So what's that now? That's right. Celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating Jesus every single day. That's good. But it's a birthday party. That's what Christmas is. It's a birthday party for Jesus. Now, let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, about the angel and the shepherds. Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And it says in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Simple shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So, consider this situation. You've got simple shepherds. They were watching their flocks at night. All right? And all at once, in the middle of watching their flocks, keeping their flocks, an angel of the Lord appears to them. And who knows what went through the minds of the shepherds? They probably were expecting the worst. Were we at the wrong place at the wrong time? Did we do or say something wrong? Is this angel going to strike us dead? And so the shepherds were gripped with what?
Fear.
They were gripped with fear. And the angel knew that they were gripped with fear. And in response, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. And so what is fear? When you think of the word fear, F-E-A-R, think of this. F, false, E, expectations, A, appearing, R, real. That's what fear is. Negative fear is false expectations appearing real. So, if the doctor gives you a negative report about your blood pressure, what does fear say to expect? Fear says to expect major heart conditions. All right? If someone you loved separated themselves from you, fear says to what? Fear says to never expect getting married. You know, if you were wrongfully fired from a job, fear says what? Fear says to expect that you will not get an equally good job to help pay the bills. So we can see that fear does what? Fear does what? Negative fear always expects the worst possible end result. Negative fear is not of God. Negative fear is of the devil. And the devil would use negative fear to rob you of sleep, to create turmoil and torment on the inside of you. That's the job of the devil, is to rob you of peace by putting this negative fear on the inside of you. And I want to read you an illustration here. It's called the rope. The rope. And he also wants to rob you of life. He wants to rob you of peace, of sleep, and of life. The story is told of a mountain climber who desperately wanted to conquer the Aconcagua, the highest mountain in the Argentine Andes. He initiated his climb after years of preparation. Because he wanted the glory all to himself, he went up alone. As the day passed and it began to get dark, he did not stop to camp for the night, but kept going. Night fell, there was no moon, clouds covered the stars. Visibility was zero, everything was black. As the climber neared a ridge at about 100 meters from the top, he slipped and fell into the total darkness below. In those anguishing moments when he was in free fall, memories flashed through his mind, both good and bad. He was certain he would die. But then a jolt almost tore him in half. Like any sensible mountain climber, he had used pitons and a long rope tied around his waist to stake himself to the mountain. The top piton held, and the rope broke his fall. He groped in the darkness for the side of the mountain, but it was out of reach. In the terrifying moments that followed, as he hung suspended, he cried out in desperation, "Help me, God! Help me!" Then he heard a voice from heaven, "Cut the rope."
"What?"
"Cut the rope." More stillness followed as the man held all the tighter and slowly swung back and forth, hoping in vain to make contact with the side of the mountain. Other climbers found them the next day still hanging from the mountain, frozen to death, 2 feet above a wide ledge. Unseen by him, the ledge would have been a safe spot where he could have dropped, recovered, built a small fire for warmth, and camped for the night. It's a tragic story and hopefully not true, but it illustrates a point. Do you put your confidence in some rope, or can you trust God with those things that are beyond your control? Why don't you let go? God has got great and marvelous things in store for you. Cut the rope and simply trust him. So this mountain climber was full of what? Fear. He was expecting, it says, the worst possible end result, that he would die. So he wouldn't cut the rope. And that's exactly what happened to him. He died. He froze to death. And so the enemy would want to use fear to rob you of life, to put turmoil on the inside, to rob you of sleep, and to rob you of life. But what is God looking for on the inside of us? See, the Word of God says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That fear, negative fear, tormenting fear is of the devil. What is God looking for in us? He's looking for faith. Because faith comes from the Almighty God. Is that good news? God is looking for faith. Now, where fear expects the worst possible end result, what does faith expect? On the other hand, they're two opposite extremes. If negative fear expects the worst possible end result, faith in God expects what? It expects the best possible end result. Faith in God expects the best possible end result. So that's what God is looking for in you and in me, and it's what he honors. What is God looking for? Say it with me. God is looking for faith. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6, the famous scripture? Hebrews 11:6. Anybody have any ideas what the writer says in Hebrews 11:6? What does it say? It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Exactly. Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. God is looking for faith, friends. God honors faith. God honors faith. And faith in God, let me say it again, expects the best possible end result. Even though the situations and circumstances around you seem negative, faith in God says, you know what? It's going to get better. The doctor may have diagnosed you with high blood pressure, but guess what? Faith in God says, you know what? If I do exercise and I eat a good diet, my blood pressure will go down. I know God has got it under his control. Even though it looks negative, faith says God will turn it around for the best. Is that making sense? Even if a relationship has gone bad in your life and somebody you deeply loved left you, faith says what? Even though this person left me, God can bring even a better fit into my life. Is that making sense? So even though the circumstances and the situations seem negative around you, faith in God expects the best. Is that making sense? See, when the shepherds were when they saw the angel, when the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 saw the angel, they were immediately gripped with fear. They expected the worst. They might have thought, man, is this angel going to strike us down? And that's the way we are sometimes, right? When something unknown to us occurs, something out of the blue, like the angel with the shepherds, we immediately, a lot of times, think about the worst. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to think of the best, about what faith in him can do, how God can turn it around in your life. Your miracle is around the corner. It's on the threshold of your life. Just keep believing God in faith that it will get better. Start believing God for the very best. Is that making sense here today? Faith in God. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a childlike faith. A childlike faith. What do I mean when I say a childlike faith? What does that mean to you, a childlike faith? Anybody? That's it. Right. That's good. Anybody else? That's good. Yes, sir. Childlike faith that the mother will nurture him. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Well, let's work on this one first. But what is childlike faith? We want to keep on focus here. What is childlike faith? Rich in faith, okay. Childlike faith, like this brother was saying, is doubtless faith. You know, you're born into this world and you're raised by two parents and, you know those parents love you. You know that dad loves you. A little girl, she knows her dad loves her and her dad is out for her best. So she's got complete confidence and trust in her dad, knowing that her dad will look out for her. Is that making sense? Childlike faith, doubtless faith. She never doubts her daddy's goodness. She knows that her daddy provides her food, her housing, her bed, every good thing that she needs, and she doesn't for one second doubt her daddy's goodness. And that's what God is looking for in you and in me. He's looking for that childlike, doubtless faith, a faith that does not doubt his goodness or his power for even a moment in your life. Situations and the enemy will try to sow seeds of doubt for even a moment in your heart, in your mind. But don't allow it to happen. When the enemy tries to sow seeds of doubt concerning God's power and ability, just say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. God honors faith. God is going to turn it around. God has got me in the palm of his hand. God is in control. You don't have any right placing seeds of doubt in my mind. I'm going to keep on believing God like a little child. Is that good? Childlike, doubtless faith is what God is looking for in you and in me. And he's looking for a persevering faith. A faith that does not quit. A faith that does not give up.